Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although the demons who take possession of the government are dressed like men of government, they do not know the duty of the government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons who possess great military strength fight with one another, and thus the great burden of demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. The demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme, so that their numbers will be diminished and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Purport. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Parichanaya saranam vinashya cha diskritam. The sadhus, the devotees of the Lord, are always eager to advance the cause of Krishna consciousness so that the conditioned soul may be released from the bondage of birth and death. But the asuras, the demons, impede the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, and therefore Krishna arranges occasional fights between the different asuras who are very much interested in increasing their military power. The duty of the government or king is not to increase military power unnecessarily. The real duty of the government is to see that the people of the state advance in Krishna consciousness. For this purpose, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vipalgasha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. There should be an ideal class of men who are bona fide brahmanas, and they should be given all protection. Namo Brahmanaya Devaya Govamanya Toyacha. Krishna is very fond of brahmanas and cows. The brahmanas promulgate the cause of advancement in Krishna consciousness, and the cows give enough milk to maintain the body in the mode of goodness. The kshatriyas and the government should be advised by the brahmanas. Next, the vaishyas should produce enough foodstuffs, and the shudras, who cannot do anything beneficial on their own, should serve the three higher classes, the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, and the vaishyas. This is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that the conditioned soul will be released from the material condition and return home back to Godhead. This is the purpose of Krishna's descent on the surface of the earth. Parichanaya sahunam vinashyacha duskritam. Everyone must understand Krishna's activities, janmakarmachamedivyam. If one understands the purpose of Krishna's coming to this earth and performing his activities, one is immediately liberated. This liberation is the purpose of the creation and Krishna's descent upon the surface of the earth. Demons are very much interested in advancing a plan by which people will labor hard like cats and dogs and hogs. But Krishna's devotees want to teach Krishna consciousness so that people will be satisfied with plain living and Krishna conscious advancement. Although demons have created many plans for industry and hard labor so that people will work day and night like animals, this is not the purpose of civilization. Such endeavors are jagat-ho-hita, that is, they are meant for the misfortune of people in general. Kshaya, such activities lead to annihilation. One who understands the purpose of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should seriously understand the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement and seriously take part in it. One should not endeavor for ugra karma or unnecessary work for sense gratification. Nunam pramata kurute vikramayarindriya pritaya apranoti. Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Simply for sense gratification, people make plans for material happiness. Maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudan. Bhagavatam 7.9.43. This they do because they are all vimudas, rascals. For flickering happiness, people waste their human energy, not understanding the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement, but instead accusing the simple devotees of brainwashing. Demons may falsely accuse the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement, but Krishna will arrange a fight between the demons in which all their military power will be engaged and both parties of demons will be annihilated. I repeat, although the demons who take possession of the government are dressed like men of government, they do not know the duty of the government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons who possess great material strength fight with one another, and thus the great burden of demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. Then demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme, so that their numbers will be diminished, and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanta Mirandasya Sanana Sakalaya Chakshunmilitam Jena Tasme Sri Garave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Disatarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Firstly, I found this a very astounding verse. Because we are daily experiencing each and every concept presented on one level. The demons who are taking governments, dressed like men of government, and not knowing the duty of government. This began at the dawn of the age of Kali, with a blackish person dressed like a king, although the person was a Sudra. So imitating the position of a king. And what was that person doing? Was he performing the activities of one who is intended to be the ruler? As described, that the purpose of the person who is ruling, the king, the monarch, the president, These people are there to protect the citizens so that the citizens have an opportunity to become Krishna conscious, to become God conscious. There's no other business. And if that means they must fight to do that, then they will fight. We have the whole scenario of the Battle of Kurukshetra simply for that purpose. We have in our own experiences how misguided leaders will lead entire countries, cities, nations, if the truth must be said, even temples down with misguided concepts about what their duty is and not understanding that the only duty of the leader is to protect the residents, the citizens, in order to assist their progress back home, back to Godhead. When the Varnashram system was laid out, it was for that purpose. It wasn't to put people in their place, but rather it was to allow people a place to become God conscious according to their propensity and their ability. And knowing that some persons would never understand this in a particular lifetime, then the Vedas gave other types of regulated activities, rituals, that would assist a person to come to the point of, Prabhupada actually said, becoming a human, and then from that point one can become God conscious. So therefore, sometimes strong language, vimuda, you know, rascals, hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, this strong language is used. And sometimes people object to such strong language. Who would object to be yanked out of an ocean if you were drowning? Who would object to being yanked out of harm's way? And yet, when the saintly persons, the sadhus, come and they present knowledge of Godhead, there's criticism, you know. Oh, we shouldn't speak so strongly. We shouldn't offend persons' sensibilities. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that it's actually the duty of the preacher, of the Krishna conscious person, to disrupt the persons in their quest for sense gratification, to expose Maya, to give them an opportunity. Whether they take it or not is another story. So, the ideal class of men, the brahmanas, they should be given protection so that they're able to give proper guidance to those who are the rulers. The arrangement is there by the will of the Lord. It's Krishna's plan. And of course, in general, we are struggling individually and as a collective society, the implementation of this grand plan, Varnashram Dharma. But actually, when you just read Prabhupada's very simple explanation, it shouldn't be so complicated. I remember one time, I mean, a few decades ago, it was decided that there had to be some kind of system to classify people according to what other people thought their particular role was, which in itself was quite bewildering. Since a person who was making the decisions was a bewildered person, trying to assign the roles to other bewildered persons, it wasn't really too beneficial. And bits and pieces of the system of Varnashram Dharma were picked up and applied randomly here and there. certain Krishna conscious communities under such misguided atmosphere actually did things with good intentions but really painful results. Like, for an example, marrying young girls off between the ages of 12 and 13 to people that were two or three times their age. This happened. You know, not good results, because the persons involved, the husbands weren't qualified, not understanding their duty to protect, and the women were just children. You know. So we can't artificially impose varnashram dharma. We need to really deeply understand the intention, and then I think it will fall upon us in a natural way. But here in this situation, the description, just the translation without the description, is just so vivid. And we are seeing with somewhat bewilderment, at least I'm bewildered, how there is just so much war going on in every corner of the world nowadays, and such huge military-based groups like this ISIS, very prominent right now, but there's other groups just waiting, nipping at their heels, fighting for their little bit of supremacy and their little bit of the world. And a big crisis is coming in Europe because people are fleeing their countries for their lives and they have no place to go to. And, you know, it's okay when it was all over there, but now they're coming at our doorsteps, and, you know, even the United States, they're coming, they're, you know. And certain countries are freaking out because, oh my God, they're really coming. Now it's not over there, they're coming into our country. And who's to say that these, the real refugees aren't going to be intermingled with the demoniac forces that are actually causing all this conflict? You know, in other words, the demons will infiltrate and also enter into the situation. So it's, you know, a very tough decision for the governments. You only have so much feet of square land in your own country, and it's probably quite filled up in places here and there, and places where it's not filled up are likely to be inhabitable. Like, I just went to visit the southern part of England, Cornwall. So I was seeing some interesting things a little bit in with relation to this verse about the about kings, how there was a lot of castles, or more accurately, the ruins of a lot of castles. Then I started understanding, you know, it wasn't just random, that they were strategically placed because the king of the castle put his castle where he could be best protected from any type of advancement by opposing kings or persons, right? So the most famous one that I saw was, you know, the rocks and rubbles of King Arthur's castle, which, you know, it's pointed out King Arthur may or may not have existed, but his legend is living on. And that castle was like, or the remains of it, so you could see where the castle was, are just right on this promontory with a dramatic drop-off into the ocean. So, you know, good north, south, east, or west, you could, you know, see what was coming. But then there's surrounding a lot of this type of terrain called moors, where they're just full of thick, thick, thorny bushes and plants. They're just, you can't penetrate it. You know, it's like inhospitable. I saw one very, looked very nice and innocent and soft green thing coming out of the heavy brambles. And it kind of looked like a larger version of rosemary, which is a nice aromatic plant, you cook with it. So I just took my hand to like touch it, and it was like harsh knife, like daggers on it. It was like kind of like having unwanted acupuncture. So just as the governments are setting up fortresses to protect themselves, their roles in their country, even the plants have their way of protecting their existence. Because nobody could get into this, you know, And they've been there since like centuries, because it's just so inhospitable. This military strength comes and goes. Who's in charge one day is not in charge the next day. But the devotees, you know, we have a role to play in this. And in really considering this verse, and particularly when Prabhupada points out for the second time within this chapter, the first time was, I think, on 56, verse 56. In verse 56, he said, "In the present age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inaugurate the Krishna conscious movement." At the present time, in Kali Yuga, people are extremely sinful and bad, and they have no idea of spiritual life. I'm thinking Srila Prabhupada wrote this, you know, at least four decades ago. Kali Yuga is just getting going, and we're seeing how ghastly it is. So again, he is saying, so this movement is inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none different from Krishna, to assist these persons, even to assist the demons to come to their common sense. And then here he says, one who understands the purpose of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should seriously understand the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement and seriously take part in it. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, and not endeavor for ugra karma or unnecessary work. One time one young man wanted to go traveling a little to see the world, and he announced that to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, so you will go, and you everywhere you go you'll say the same streets, the same trees. So in my little journey to Cornwall, I started feeling the import of the same trees, the same, okay, there were the cobblestone streets, there were this streets and that streets, but, you know, nonetheless streets. And then as we came closer and closer, and we finally turned off the motorway, and we finally turned into the entrance of Bhaktivedanta Matter, I was feeling so relieved and happy. I was thinking, but this street and these trees, this is not the same streets and trees. This is the spiritual world. These are desire trees. And it's described how the streets in the spiritual world are paved with jewels and gems. And even if we can't see it, we're in the spiritual world. So those street, this wonderful street that's leading up to the manor is paved with jewels and gems. The jewels and gems of the desire of the devotees to come to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. And we have a great role to play in presenting Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said we should seriously understand the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement and seriously take part in it. So seriously taking part is a very internal thing to prepare ourselves to be able to offer Krishna consciousness convincingly and effectively to others, because we ourselves are becoming Krishna consciousness. And to show the world that we actually care, that we're not just, like when I came in this morning, it was such a wonderful, joyful kirtan that was going on after the Guru Puja. You know, there could not have been an unhappy person in the room. Even if you were unhappy when you came in, well, sometimes we feel whatever, but when you come in to such a display, such a kirtan in front of such beautiful deities, that unhappiness is just kicked out. It may come back again because that's our conditioning. But in the face of such joyful chanting of the holy name in the face of Radha Gokulananda, who could not remain unhappy for that time. And then I was looking at Sri Ramchandra. Here's the ruler. Here's the ruler. We need to introduce Lord Ramchandra to these foolish rascals. Now, Srila Prabhupada could say that to people's face, and they would even happily, yes, I'm a rascal. We may not have the spiritual potency to go tell somebody, you're a rascal. And it's not really our mission to do so. But if we don't dislodge their little ignorance as they go along their little foolish lives, we aren't doing any great service to them. If we just flatter them with, you know, flowery words and pat them on the back, and we don't give them Krishna, we're not helping them. So we need to figure out how we can individually become Krishna conscious. What is it in me that's preventing me from fully accepting and embracing the Sankirtan movement and the holy name? And while we're figuring it out, we should be giving it out too. There are some schools of thought that's prevalent nowadays in different parts of the world where they're saying, well, we can't really spread Krishna consciousness until we clear up our own, you know, whatever it is that's holding us back. There may be some truth to that. But did Srila Prabhupada come here and tell us to sit down and wait until we became enlightened before we went out and preach? He didn't do that. The same day that he arrived in San Francisco, on the 17th of January in 1968, he told us to go out and preach. Most of us were still looking at a little card with the mantra written on it because we couldn't keep the words in order. Go out and preach. So I asked him, you know, what do we do? How do we do this? And you simply listen to me and repeat what you have heard from me. Don't add or subtract. So by now, most of us, we've heard through audio tapes and we've heard through reading. Prabhupada said reading is also hearing. Reading these books, it's also hearing. And many of you have studied deeply. But if we just hold it within, waiting for that day of enlightenment to come, we are actually not doing our duty. We have, just as we want to dislodge the materialistic person from their comfort zone in order to hand them Krishna consciousness, we also need to become dislodged from our comfort zone, even if it is a spiritual comfort zone, just like Srila Prabhupada did. We have so many fantastic examples, not only the example by Srila Prabhupada himself, the examples of the previous acharyas, the six Goswamis, but among our own God brothers and God sisters and devotees. So many wonderful examples who go out and just push it a little further. Each one of us did that, our movement would become so much more powerful. So on our return from our little trip, that was with four other ladies, we were discussing one thing, which was how people didn't seem to know anything about Krishna consciousness or even the devotees. I mean, we all wore tilak every day. We were, you know, appearing to some degree as devotees, and nobody even, you know, seemed to like, oh, you're from Hare Krishna, oh, you're ISKCON. I mean, no clue. I was thinking, yeah, we got to do something about this. And I know some devotees are thinking about it because I posted a picture from Tintagel, and two devotees, I put it on Facebook last night, and two devotees from here responded that they were thinking of going to Cornwall for spreading Krishna consciousness. Anyways, we should be thinking like that. People are being described in the Bhagavatam as vimudas, which Prabhupada calls rascals, because they are simply using their energy for this flickering happiness, which is what? Just a little relief from the pangs of material life. You know, what we're calling happiness is just a little break in the normal pressure, not understanding that this human life has a far greater value. So it's very interesting, the final part, where Krishna says, the demons may falsely accuse the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement. But we also find, even within our movement, movement meaning not just our inner ISKCON, but, you know, greater ISKCON and associates, that there are, you know, accusations flying here and there. You know, people look at the internet, you know. But here he's speaking about demons in the term of non-Krishna conscious persons. So then he says, Krishna will arrange a fight between the demons in which their military power will be engaged and both parties of the demons will be annihilated. That is just an amazing statement. You know, you wonder when and how that's going to go on. Then I remembered something that I read in the Bhakti, the Hari Bhakti Latika. So the Hari Bhakti Latika is written by an unknown author. And generally we don't take things that we don't, you know, this is so-and-so, you know, the Parampara dictates like that. However, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur found this copy and he endorsed it, that there was a bona fide, that the person was who wrote this was a bona fide Vaishnav. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta published it, actually on two occasions. Srila Bhaktivinoda put it, he published it first in his magazine, the Haritoshana, and then Bhaktivinoda made a book. So just a couple of statements I'll read from there that shed a little light on this, that number 26 in the second cluster. So it's arranged and called clusters of flowers. So the second cluster of flowers, 26. Although devotees do not fear any sinful reactions or any living being, devotees have one fear, and it's constant. And that constant fear is the state of forgetting Krishna. So sometimes we become a little complacent, we lose the sense of urgency to get out and do something, whatever it may be. Srila Prabhupada was so urgent in pushing on this movement. And then we understand in general that a devotee is not seeking their own personal happiness. And yet they become very unhappy by seeing the suffering of others in this world. So we see that so much now. You know, what can we do for them? What can we do for them? And it seems like so overwhelming. But interesting that because the devotees at the same time, and they understand that this suffering is coming from a state of mind, occasioned by one's own mind, other entities are demigods. But the devotees remain joyful due to touch of nectarian moonbeams of spiritual knowledge. So in he mentions this verse in the Bhagavatam in 7.9, and this is a verse about Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying, O best of the great personalities, referring to Krishna, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories. But in the purport, Prabhupada explains how Prahlad Maharaj was both happy and sad. He was, as described here, very absorbed, much absorbed in the thought of the glories of the Lord. So therefore, he was always happy. But when he looked out and he saw the suffering of the asuras, including his own father, then he became simultaneously very sad. So then, in the Hari Bhakti Latika, says, natural virtues of a devotee. So this is very interesting. The first part, it goes, non-violence, truthfulness, honesty, purity, good conduct, self-control, forgiveness, peacefulness, satisfaction, steadfastness. So these are the virtues of a devotee. And then the interesting one, nevertheless, devotees are violent to sinful demons, impatient to control the senses, willing to lie for another's protection. And they're free from sobriety and gravity when chanting the holy name. I find this is a very astounding, it takes some understanding. But the understanding, of course, comes through the context of being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But devotees are violent to sinful demons. That doesn't mean we can go out there and start attacking people. We should first apply it to the sinful demons within our own hearts. And we can apply the healing violence of the holy name. Anyways, I thought I would end with that as a matter of meditation. How the military power will engage in fighting between each other and wipe each other out. Let's hope it happens soon. And how devotees are willing to be violent towards sinful activities and lie to protect others and abandon gravity when chanting the holy name. So this, abandoning sobriety and gravity. It's just like there's this wonderful description when the devotees of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement would meet each other on the street. So you would have these very well-to-do persons dressed according to their, status. And you may have another person who's just, maybe he has the jar of the sweep in his hands. But they're both devotees. And when they see each other, regardless of status or class, they hurry bowl and embrace and dance and embrace and sometimes fall on the ground and roll in the dust together. And the onlookers cannot understand these wonderful things. Hare Krishna.